Good morning, Wisconsin. Hello, my name is Kieran Waldsmith. Today on Moving On Up, our guest is Dave Potter, who is the owner of Dairy Connection. He sells cheese cultures across the U.S. We will be talking about how the COVID pandemic impacts the Wisconsin dairy industry. So, how have you been, Dave?
I've been fine.
Is anything going around in the dairy business, or...?
There's a lot of things happening in the dairy industry. Happens all the time. It's a food industry, so it's always changing.
Any big news coming up?
Hopefully with COVID, hopefully coming to a soon end, we can start getting back to normal business.
All right. So, I have a couple questions to ask you just about how, you know, you got involved into the industry and how the pandemic has been affecting it. So I guess first one off would be, how did you get involved in the dairy industry?
Well, I've been involved in the dairy industry since 1982. I grew up on a dairy farm in Northeast Iowa. We had about 40 or 50 milk cows that I had to milk each day, twice a day. We'd milk cows before school and have to milk cows after school. It was my dad and my younger brother. I knew I didn't want to milk cows every day, so after I got out of high school, I decided I really wanted to stay in agriculture, but farming probably wasn't going to be in the cards for me, and it was too much of a commitment, and the pay didn't seem very good either at the time. So I went to college, and I earned a degree in dairy food science from South Dakota State University, and then I started working for a company in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, and they happened to make cheese cultures. And so this allowed me to continue working in a career and a product that I was really interested in, which was milk. In 1990, our company moved from Sioux Falls, South Dakota to Madison, Wisconsin, and that's how I ended up here.
All righty. And so how would you say that the pandemic has affected the dairy industry so far?
Like a lot of the other businesses, it's affected it quite a bit. Initially, there was no market for the milk, and you may have read or heard news stories. Factories, dairy farmers were having to dump their milk. Schools were closed, restaurants were closed, but the milk kept coming. The cows just don't stop milking every day, so they had to keep producing milk. So it's not too easy to stop. So the milk was being dumped in fields. It was dumped in waste treatment facilities. And it was a real mess in the industry what to do with all this milk. There was a milk shortage in the grocery stores, believe it or not. They couldn't get enough packaging to bottle the milk. They couldn't get the distribution right. And so they were limiting the amount of milk people could buy on the store shelf. But at the same time, they had so much milk available that it was just being dumped. And so it was really sad for the industry and for people that needed food, couldn't get food, and yet we were throwing away a lot of food.
Now, I do have actually a side question on that. Could they have used the milk to make cheese instead of dumping it?
Well, that's what they ended up doing it, but they had to have organization. Companies that were going to make cheese also had a place to store the cheese. They needed to have a buyer for that cheese because there's a lot of labor and utilities that go into making cheese. So it was easier to dump the milk than to put a lot of money into making cheese and then have to throw the cheese away. So until they had a better plan, there just really wasn't anything that they could do with that extra milk.
That is quite sad, I would say, because even I was living through that, well, pandemic where we actually had all the milk and we couldn't do anything about it. What parts do you think were the most affected by the pandemic?
Initially for me, I think it's the dairy farmers that produce the milk. The small-scale cheese producers that sold their products to restaurants and farmers markets. So as I mentioned, the dairy farmers had to dump their milk because they didn't have a market for it. But the cheesemakers that sold their cheese to grocery stores or they sold their cheese to restaurants and farmers markets, the restaurants were closed, farmers markets were closed, so they basically lost the market for their cheese. It takes about 10 pounds of milk to produce 1 pound of cheese. So when there's no cheese sales, that means there's a lot more milk that had no place to go. So for every pound of cheese, that meant almost over a gallon of milk was going to be dumped because there was no way to buy the cheese and there was no way to drink the milk.
I wonder if people would think differently if this happened again, and hopefully they would.
I would think there would probably be more plans that could come into play a little sooner because now we have experience. You got to remember, this has never happened in anybody's lifetime. It's been 100 years since the last pandemic, and not too many people were living through both of those, but at the same time, businesses have never gone through anything like this before.
Would it have been the Great Depression, right?
No, it would have been the plague that happened in 1917.
Oh. I would think also depression would have been pretty bad.
And this was a global event too, yeah. So it wasn't just affecting locally here. It was around the country, around the globe.
Yeah. So, have there actually been any benefits from the pandemic?
I'd say one of the benefits maybe is that cheesemakers were forced to be more creative on how they marketed their cheese. I think more cheese is being sold on social media now. People are talking about it. There's the group of influencers will start talking about a cheese or how they can start marketing cheese. Cheese companies started working closer together to, they formed a thing called victory boxes where you could have a box of cheese that might have two or three different cheese companies, cheese products in there. So you'd be supporting a local cheesemaker or a local artisan food producer by buying these victory boxes. You got to remember, people weren't going to restaurants, but they still needed to eat. A lot of people maybe didn't do a lot of cooking. So cheese was a pretty easy food item that they could buy that was ready to eat. And so promoting the local aspect, I think, really was maybe a benefit that hopefully has come from this.
I do would say that it would there have been an increased number of rating of cheese creativity going on out there.
That's right.
So, what time during the pandemic was probably the most effective, or the industry was most affected by the pandemic?
Well, what we know right now, and hopefully it's just early on, there's been a lot of adjustments made, but early on when the pandemic hit, the U.S. Was in the spring milk production. So that's when milk is at its highest production, and the farmers had nowhere to ship their milk. So many farmers ended up going out of business. They had to sell their cows. Some are still struggling to keep their farms with no income. So that's probably been the biggest hit from the dairy industry. I think from the food processing side or the milk processing side, we've tended to be a little bit more stable, but from the milk production side, farming is really tough to begin with, and then having this pandemic where they weren't getting any milk payments, they're struggling a lot because of that. And so early on was a big effect, and it kind of lingered with the farmers, but we're seeing a turnaround right now, at least from the cheese companies. They've kind of figured out how to modify their business, and they're able to move forward. So hopefully that the worst part there is behind us on this.
I hope so too. And a lot of people are out there are probably also hoping that this will all end eventually. So how did it affect your business?
We were very fortunate. We were not forced to close our business. We were considered an essential business, so we had our employees able to go into work. We supply the cultures and enzymes to cheese companies, and they needed those enzymes and supplies to continue making food. So we did have half of our staff of 12 people working from home for almost 2 months. It was different than what we've ever done before, and luckily it was we had set ourselves up that we were able to just make a decision one day, half people work from home and half people continue to ship orders out the door. We had to change our procedures for sanitation, for hand washing, but fortunately we had just moved into a larger space, and so we had enough space that we could socially distance people on the job. We had really good sanitation procedures already in place. We just had to modify some of those, so it wasn't a big hardship for us to change our procedures. Like everybody else, just like in school, we had most of our meetings via Zoom. Also, we didn't get to travel to see our customers. They didn't want to see outside people into their facilities, so that was a big change for our business, as we have two or three people that would travel around the country and visiting our cheesemaking customers, and that all came to a quick stop. Actually, the week before March shutdown, I was in New York at a cheesemakers conference, right when the pandemic was starting to hit out in New York City. Everybody was kind of oblivious to really how bad it was. So luckily we didn't transfer any of the COVID virus back here, which easily could have been done. Otherwise, our business was affected by the changeover in our customer activities too. Our smaller customers that sold to the farmers markets and restaurants, they immediately lost their sales and they stopped ordering from us. We service about 1,800 cheesemaking companies around the United States. I would say at least a third or more of those companies stopped ordering from us. However, the companies that were selling to grocery stores and other distributors, their orders were increasing. So those differences were offsetting, so we were able to maintain our total activities and keep everyone employed, which was really not the same for what everybody experienced. So we were fortunate again. We lost some of our business, but the other ones kind of made up for that.
You guys probably had better luck than some of your fellow coworkers throughout.
The food industry, I think, overall was affected if you were in food service or restaurants. But food production itself, I think, was able to recover, because you got to think about, people still need to eat. And that's one of the things I learned early on, is that when you're in the food industry, you're always going to have a job, because people do have to eat. And if you can be resourceful and provide food, that's kind of a security of having a career in the food industry.
Well, that's something to look up to, or something to think about if some of people who are going to listen to this wanting to go into agriculture and food science.
Yep, food science is a great field to get into.
What do you see the long-term effects from the pandemic would be in the food industry and dairy industry?
Well, I think there's going to be fewer farmers, fewer farms to produce milk. The family farm with 50 to 150 cows, kind of like what I had when I was growing up, they're just not going to be able to compete anymore against the large corporate farms. The big farms continue to get bigger. Small farms, unless they have a niche market for their milk, are going to be gone. So we're going to lose that part of our society. And those are the farmers that we work with a lot, that have maybe 35, 50 cows. We have a lot of customers that maybe only have 5 cows or less. They might have 10 goats. So we work really with those small niche customers, but the farmer that sells their milk and they're not processing it, unless they have 3,000 to 5,000 cows, they're not going to be able to compete in the market. So long term, we're going to be seeing a downturn in the dairy farms. You know, in Wisconsin, that's going to be continuing on as it has in the rest of the U.S.
That doesn't sound good. Hopefully that doesn't actually happen, and people will be able to still sell their milk and provide for people. Was the dairy industry having any problems before the pandemic even started?
There was, like every industry, they all have their problems. But from the dairy industry side, I would say from the farmer's point of view, they really had a lot of problems. Wisconsin is losing, on average, 1 to 2 dairy farms a year. Or excuse me, 1 to 2 dairy farms per day. So in the beginning of 2020, there's information out there that there's approximately almost 7,500 dairy farms in Wisconsin. That was the beginning of 2020. So you can figure that math out. If you're losing 1 to 2 farms per day, we're losing about 700 to 800 farms per year. And if we had 7,300 or 7,500 dairy farms in Wisconsin, minus 800 a year, it doesn't take very long. They're going to start getting smaller numbers. The price that they were receiving for their milk is almost the same price that we got for our milk back in 1976. Milk prices are sold by the hundredweight. So 100 pounds of milk, dairy farmers can receive anywhere between $13 and $20 for that 100 pounds of milk. 100 pounds of milk will convert over to about 80 gallons. 100 pounds is about 8.6 pounds per gallon. So it's a little over 10 gallons of milk that they would produce to get that $13 to $20. So that's the price we were getting in 1976. So how many years ago was that? That's 44 years ago. Milk prices haven't changed that much, but their costs are much higher. Land costs are higher. Feed costs are higher. Labor costs are higher. And that's why you see a lot of dairy farmers had to increase the amount of cows that they have to help cover the cost because the milk price wasn't going up as much. I think also from the fluid milk producer's point of view, so not only are the farmers producing it, somebody now has to process that milk. Fluid milk consumption continually declined over the past 10 years. People are drinking less milk. So now you've got this whole thing where farmers are producing more milk, and people are drinking less milk, so there's an overabundant supply of milk. So that milk either has to be dried or turned into cheese. They have to have a market for that. And so it's really, the dairy industry was having some big problems. From a cheesemaker's point of view, cheese consumption has been increasing. So that's a real bright spot. Over the past decade, almost 15%. So on average, Kieran, do you know how much a person eats, how many pounds of cheese a person eats each year?
Well, I know here in this household, we eat probably way more than the average person eats.
Well, how much do you think that is?
Maybe a couple hundred pounds a year.
No, not quite that. That would be great. That would really secure everybody having a job. It's about 40 pounds per person per average. So maybe in our household, we eat 200 pounds of cheese a year. But on average, it's about 40 pounds per person. So you think about where you get most of your cheese at. What food probably has the most cheese on it that you would eat?
Well, pizza.
Pizza,
mac and cheese.
Yep, pizza drives the cheese industry. So people eat more cheese as an ingredient than they do just by eating cheese. But Wisconsin's a little bit different. We're the number one cheese-producing state. People here eat a lot of cheese, so we're above that average, but other parts of the country, you know, they don't necessarily eat that much cheese. So on average, though, it's about 40 pounds. When I started in the industry, people were about 23 pounds per year, and so it's changed quite a bit. That's almost doubled over the last 40 years for what consumption is.
I'm just trying to think of actually how cheese actually became more popular over the years.
Well, I'd say pizza is the biggest driving force, and mozzarella cheese.
Yes.
A lot of shredded cheese. So cheese companies have continued to process it versus using just blocks of cheese. They will shred it. They'll slice it. They'll put it in different shapes. So that all promotes the sale of cheese, which in essence promotes the sale of milk and consumes milk. So so those are the things that, you know, they have an effect in the industry, and they were greatly affected during COVID because everybody's eating habits changed, and things that they were buying on a regular basis, they stopped, and now we're just starting to see some of that get back to us.
Now, here's something that I actually kind of learned recently. Did you know that Canada actually sells their milk in bags?
Canada does. So does the U.S. If you ever go to Quick Trip, they sell milk in bags. And so they have, you would buy a pitcher, and then the milk would come in a plastic bag, and you could, it's cuts down on waste, it's easier to transport, and easier for filling, and so it's less cost involved in the actual plastic bag. So next time you're in a Quick Trip gas station, just go back and look in the milk section. You'll see milk in bags.
I did not know that it was actually in Quick Trip, so I'm actually going to have to look at that next time I'm in Quick Trip. So the last question I have for you is, how was the Wisconsin economy affected by the pandemic affecting the dairy industry and the food industry?
Well, as you know, Wisconsin is the dairy state. So when Wisconsin farmers started dumping their milk, that was a big impact on the economics for the cheese industry, for the fluid milk production. There was an overproduction overall. I mean, other countries, India, China, Brazil, France, Germany, New Zealand, they produce about as much milk or large amounts of milk, at least, and they sell it around the world. So Wisconsin lost a lot of sales of milk due to a shutdown globally. And so now they had to compete with this whole world global pandemic. There was just no place to get rid of all the extra milk. So that was a big decline. I can't give you the numbers on the amount of money that was lost as the economy shut down, but it was significant. Milk is consumed in various methods. You think about how you consume milk. Fluid milk for drinking. Liquid milk is packaged at grocery stores, school lunch programs. All of those went away. So the people that were involved in producing that and distributing that didn't have a job. So that was an instant economic downturn. Plus, milk is very perishable. So it's not a product that you could just store up unless you further processed it. Ice cream and yogurt was another section. Milk is fermented to create yogurt, so that kind of extends the life, but it still has a very short shelf life. So having all those products stop production had a ripple effect, not only on the farmers, but all the food processors, the trucking companies that hauled the product couldn't get out. So there was just a number of impacts overall that affected the economy in Wisconsin. So I think overall it kind of came to a stop. And, you know, early on in the pandemic, we didn't see the effects that they were seeing out east. So that was in earlier in the year, March, when things started shutting down here. But they were already starting to feel the effects a little earlier. And locally here, we didn't really, when we shut down, we weren't seeing the effects. And so people here were wondering, why are we doing this? So it created a stop in the entire economy. And it's now, I think, just starting. It's almost a year later. We're just starting to see some of the economy bouncing back. People are getting out. They're starting to do things with all the mandates, with face mask and everything else. The economy is showing signs, but there's been a lot of damage done with people losing jobs, companies closing, restaurants closing that just aren't going to come back. So that's one thing to keep your eye out for, is all the favorite places that you used to maybe go to have lunch, your parents went to have lunch, those places may not be open anymore, and they may not reopen after the pandemic is over.
That's a good thing to look for. I know that a couple of my favorite restaurants were closed down recently, but that's pretty much how it's going to have to be for the next couple of years. Businesses are going to have to adjust to the new way of living until we can figure out a way to stop this, I guess, even a way to put it would be virus and quarantine and pandemic. Well, that wraps it up for today. Also, thank you to Dave Potter for being here today. Make sure you check out their website, which is dairyconnection.com, so you can check out any news that's happening in the dairy industry, or even just seeing what's going on around in their neighborhood. So, see you next time. And thank you for joining us, Dave Potter.
Thanks for having me here, and it was fun to talk dairy.
Indeed it was. So, thanks for listening to Moving On Up.